you got cooking? How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. A weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
I can already hear some of you grumbling to yourselves. I wonder what Randy fixed this week. Fear not, I am fixless this weekend, so no more stories about Mr. Fix-It, Junior, on this episode of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, anyway. No, I've hung up my tool belt for the time being, and I'm putting my apron back on because we need to focus on food for a change. You know, just to prove we can. As a matter of fact, I was talking to a friend of mine at church last Sunday, Robert Koshu, and he told me he listens to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show all the time, but he actually enjoys the fact that we talk about a wide variety of things, not just cooking all the time. And to me, that's the essence of good radio. And it's just my opinion, I understand, but think about it. Nothing bores me more than a political talk show that talks about nothing but politics, or a sports talk show that talks about nothing but sports. So we always strive to broaden our horizons and discuss a lot of different things on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. But ultimately, we try to focus on food, or food preparation, anyway. And that's what I'm going to try to do this week. More on that in a few minutes. But I mentioned my friend Robert from church, a Sugarland Baptist church, just give him a plug. And I mentioned Robert for a reason. He and I teach 9th and 10th graders in Bible study. And last Sunday, our church hosted the Compassion Experience in our parking lot. It's one of those multimedia interactive things where you walk through an exhibit. And in this case, it simulates what it's like to live in abject poverty in a third world country. And we took the tour all together as a youth group. And I must admit, it really resonated with me. So we spent the rest of the Bible study hour talking about it with the kids. Most of them had never even thought about what it's like to be so desperately poor that you literally don't have running water in your town, much less, say, in your own home. But that's what the Compassion Experience demonstrates for you. When you see it, when you hear the stories of people, children in this case, you realize these people feel fortunate when they get just one decent meal a day, not three. And then you begin to understand how blessed we are to live in these great United States of ours. Oh, sure, there's poverty right here in the U.S. too. Heck, right here in Texas, Houston. Even Sugar Land, as well-heeled a place as that is. But in other parts of the world, poverty is not the exception. It's the rule. And it was a really good way to get our teenagers to stop and think about things a little bit. Not only how lucky they are, but how they can do tangible things to help people who are not as lucky as they are. In fact, Robert pointed out that one of our students at Sugarland Baptist, Katie Honeycutt, well, she's married now, it's Katie Higginbotham now, she took it upon herself to start a church-wide program to build water wells in remote villages of third world countries. And she raised the funds and she rallied the volunteers, and I think she got six or seven built in the end. And this was all while she was still in high school. But just stop and think about what some of these people have to do just to get sanitary water. They have to carry large jars down to the nearest river, which is probably quite a distance away, and then they fill the jars with this nasty, dirty, muddy water, which of course makes the jars three times heavier. Then they have to tote the whole thing all the way back home and boil it just to make water that's drinkable or usable in cooking. So when Katie figured out a way to raise the money and get the volunteers to dig a well in their village, that was a godsend for them. I mean, literally, because she did it in the name of God. And that's just water. We haven't even talked about food or shelter or decent clothing, medical care. See, that's what the Compassion Experience does. It personalizes what poor people face on a day-to-day basis just to survive. things that we take for granted in our society. So it was a really good real-life application of serving others in the name of God. After we got back to the classroom Sunday, I had one of the kids look up John 12:8. It was Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he said, "You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Then I asked them what they thought Jesus meant when he said that. And of course, most of them just stared at the floor and said nothing. They are teenagers, after all. So I suggested that perhaps Jesus was trying to point out that he'd spent his ministry feeding the hungry, healing the sick, but that he wasn't always going to be physically present on this earth to do those things. So he was passing that responsibility on to them, his disciples, and by extension, us, his modern-day disciples. And then we talked about real-life ways we could accomplish that. What, 2,000 years later? You will always have the poor. The whole incident made me think about our former pastor, Dr. Ken Kaur. So I contacted him this past week. I reminded him he was the one who got me involved in feeding the homeless at a soup kitchen downtown called Loaves and Fishes. It's a couple of blocks away from Minute Maid Park. And I have to admit, every time I go to an Astros game, I think about Ken and Billy, the chief cook, and Sister Rosemary, who is in charge of Loaves and Fishes. She said to us, "I want you to have a name for the homeless." And after feeding the homeless every Friday for about 20 years, I do have at least one name. It was a guy named Anthony, and he wasn't homeless. He actually worked at Loaves and Fishes every Friday for community service credit. You know, judge gave him community service as part of a plea bargain to keep him out of jail. Now, Anthony was a large human being, and by that I don't mean fat. He was a workout warrior, but he just made a stupid decision, and he was really turning his life around. And one day, Anthony asked me, "What'd you do?" And I said, "What do you mean, what'd I do?" He said, "What did you do to get community service?" I laughed at him, and I told him, "This is a ministry of my church." His jaw dropped, and he said, "You mean you don't have to be here?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, I do have to be here because Jesus told me to be here." Anthony and I instantly became good friends, and he turned to me and said, "I got you back." And when he said, "I got you back," he meant that literally. Because one hot day, I was refilling people's cups with ice water. But this one woman was making a big scene. She was obviously on drugs. So when I started to pour the water in her cup, she turned around and screamed at me, "I don't want any more water, you blankety blank," and she really cussed me out. Then she threw her food tray at me, and she stood up to attack me with one of the plastic knives. Suddenly, this gigantic mass of humanity stepped in between the two of us, and Anthony just calmly looked down at her and said, "If you're messing with my friend, you're messing with Anthony." That pretty much diffused the situation, and we just both went back to work feeding the homeless. When I thanked him later on, Anthony just shrugged and looked at me and said, "I told you I had your back." And there were others whose names, sadly, I don't remember, like the welder who said he couldn't find a job, found himself sleeping in a cardboard box. I gave him a ride down to the Welders Union building, and he got a job within 15 minutes. Then he turned around and came back every Friday to help out at Loaves and Fishes. And there was the guy who walked around reading a book all the time. So I asked him once, I said, "Why are you homeless? You're obviously educated. You can get a job." And he just smiled at me and said, "I don't want a job. I don't want a boss. I don't want a landlord. I live the way I want, I do what I want, whenever I want, and wherever I want." This guy had made the conscious decision to be homeless, and he preferred it that way. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. So the responsibility falls to us, his disciples. And at Loaves and Fishes, food was our focus there, too. But as my grandma liked to say, charity begins at home, So today's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show is in response to a request from one of you who said you wanted to hear more from the Grill Doctor. You remember the Grill Doctor? The guy we had on the show 2 weeks ago told us how to clean up and fix up our outdoor cookers? So the doctor's in the house for three segments this week because food is our focus. And I got you back.
If your barbecue's gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. It's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a video or a new website or help in managing their social media, and my company, Edgewater Digital, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of digital marketing. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time or expertise to build and maintain your website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to manage your company's internet ads or social media accounts? Like, never, right? Well, at Edgewater Digital, that's what we do. We have a talented web design team who've built a number of incredibly successful websites for companies large and small. Need content too? No problem. Edgewater can provide copywriting, photography, and videography services to enhance the content on your website, email marketing, or even social media. We're a full-service digital marketing solution with a track record of success. Call us today at 832-500-4272 or see our website, edgewater-digital.com. Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on-site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspa at Allspa's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years. He's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite Ace Hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Allspa's Ace Hardware is everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal touch that's missing from the big-box stores. Allspa's Ace Hardware has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so Allspa's Ace Hardware features a complete barbecue pit house to fulfill all your outdoor cooking needs. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at Allspa's Ace Hardware. And they even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspas.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. Allspa's Ace Hardware at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood, and tell them I sent you.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
Our featured guest today is Lance Walls. He is the owner and the operator of a company called The Grill Doctor. Welcome, Lance.
Hey, Randy. How you doing today?
Doing good. We like to do more than just talk shop with our guests here on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. We always want to get to know our guests personally. So start out by telling us about yourself. Where were you born, reared, schooled, all that?
Yeah, Randy, I grew up in the Seabrook area, right outside of Houston, you know, right on the water, you know, a lot of fishing. You know, I've been doing this the Grill Doctor thing for 2 years now. We've been servicing the greater Houston area. You know, we go all the way out to Katy, the Woodlands, Galveston, Humble, you name it. You know, I started the business, you know, after being tired from working for other people. I just kind of wanted to do my own thing. And what better way to do it than to do what I love? I love grilling. I love cooking outdoors. So, you know, I started seeing that there was these services in California and other states. The services were real popular. They're cleaning grills and doing repair work, maintenance. You know, a lot of people now, they think, oh, I got to call my plumber or I got to call the gas company for everything that's wrong with the grill. Well, that's just simply not true.
So we understand that you did pursue another career before you started the Grill Doctor business. What was it?
Yeah, I was in management, and I worked for a couple of different financial companies. You know, I did loans and loan work. And after a point in time, you feel like, yeah, I felt like I had to do something fresh, something new, and just wanted to do something I loved.
So now tell us about your interest in outdoor cooking. Were you a serious backyard chef before you started the Grill Doctor business?
Yeah, you know, I was always playing around. You know, when I was little, you know, I'd play around my dad's charcoal grill. You know, I'd play around with drum smokers, ugly drums. Then I moved on, you know, to pellet grills. I did a lot of cooking on, and I just love the look of the outdoor kitchens. I love everything about outdoor cooking.
Well, I always love to ask serious backyard chefs this question because the answers never disappoint. How many outdoor cookers do you own personally?
Oh, well, that's an interesting question because I have repaired many that people have given me that I didn't want anymore. And then I ended up actually selling them or giving them away to friends. I think within the last 2 years, I've had about 15 different things I've used.
Can you name them all, Lance?
I had a couple Traegers. I had a pit barrel cooker. I had a RCS. I had a DCS. Of course, I had a Genesis 2 by Weber. I had some small little stovetop cookers, just real small gadgets to play with. Gen Air. I had about 4 or 5 Gen Airs that I've had to just the cart, you know, that for propane that I had to restore back to glory.
Well, we've seen pictures of people cleaning out and maintaining these big, large outdoor cookers, and to be honest, it looks like a lot of work, Lance. First of all, why is keeping your outdoor cooker clean so important?
Well, you know, I kind of narrow it down to two things. The first thing is that a lot of people will first think of is it's an investment, you know. These companies and these grills, they're not getting any cheaper. The prices, you know, I guess, you know, with the cost of living, everything's going up every year. And they're banking on you, you know, not owning it for too long. They want you to buy a new one, or if you go to order parts, they want you to order it through them, so it's a little bit more expensive, or they want you to buy a warranty. So it's protection of investment, and also safety is a big thing with these grills.
Well, since you clean and maintain outdoor grills professionally, we're sure you've pretty much seen it all, but without naming names, because we don't want to embarrass any of your customers, tell us some good stories about jobs you've done over the years.
Sure. You know, after the hurricane here recently, I had a lot of calls from the Memorial area in Houston. where there were grills that had gotten underwater or had water filled up in the control panels. There was mildew everywhere inside. And those were deep sanitizing jobs to do. And thinking before that, I had jobs where there was 10 wasp nests inside, like it had, the grill hadn't been used in years. You know, of course you get spiders. I've seen rat droppings, you name it. Besides the dead body, I think I've seen it.
Except for the dead body of whatever animal we happen to be cooking, of course.
Right.
Well, I'm sure that you've seen some really bad cookers over the years, but what do you think is the worst cooker you've ever encountered?
Of a grill?
Sure.
Sure. Company-wise, I think I've seen...
Oh, no, I don't mean by brand. I don't mean brand names. I just mean what's the worst condition you've ever seen a cooker in?
Oh, goodness. I've seen everything falling apart. You know, you'll see the burners completely almost corroded out. And you're surprised the grill's even lighting. It seems like rust is everywhere, and it's corroded up, and you have flakes going everywhere. The grates have enlarged over time. I wouldn't be eating off some of this stuff that I've seen.
What's the most challenging job you've ever done?
The most challenging was for a real estate company that contacted me to do a couple grills. They had failed to mention to me that it had been infested by rats.
Ooh.
So it was just, I mean, I've never seen so many droppings ever. It was, I felt like I needed a couple showers when I finished.
Well, let me ask you this, Lance. Have you ever told a customer, you just need to buy a new grill?
I have had to do that, yes. And that's only, you know, off a recommendation of when the parts that are going to go in to replace everything, everything's going to cost as much as buying a new grill. Some of these companies, the replacement parts are not cheap.
So do grill covers really provide any value, or are they just an accessory that the grill companies want to sell you?
They provide great value. And the reason I say that is, you know, part of what I do at the end of my job is I give a nice shine onto the top of the grill, no matter if it's stainless steel or not. And you, what a lot of times you'll see is you'll see rusting that have happened. I'll have to really buff a lot of that stuff out with solutions and things. And the covers do wonders. They keep the pollen off, you know, during the summer. That stuff ends up, you know, drying up on there and really going into the base of it. Yeah, they're not expensive either. I mean, the covers, I mean, you can go to your local hardware store and, for the price that you get, it gives you a lot of peace of mind.
And, of course, they make custom-sized covers for each individual grill so that they'll fit, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can usually, you know, look at your brand name. If you want to go through the manufacturer, you can. It'll get you an exact fit. But you go to the hardware store, it'll have it in different sizes. You can usually just measure the grill and take that in, and then what you can buy will have it by size, how long the grill is.
So do you have a grill cover for every one of your grills, or do you store some of them inside?
I have a couple inside just as projects. The stuff I do keep outside, I do cover, unless it's going to be a quick move for me. And I know the weather's not going to be too bad, and maybe I won't cover it. And sometimes I'll make do, just put like a tarp over it in the meantime. But it's really just dependent on how long I'm going to keep it.
Well, now, you call yourself the grill doctor, but we would suppose that you probably clean more than just grills. Would that be true?
Yes, sir, I do. I clean, your smokers, and I even do paint them as well, if they need a little bit of a paint touch-up on them. What that consists of is really just, and the smokers is a little bit different than the grills.
Well, let's get into that. Let's get into that. We need to take a break.
Sure.
I want to come back in the next segment and talk specifically about charcoalers and propane grills, natural gas grills, pellet grills. You mentioned pellet grills. And there are lots of other things, too, like pizza ovens and outdoor kitchens. Can you hang with us?
Yes, I can.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off. Randy will be right back with more smoke and hot tips for you and your old flame right after this short break.
Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspa at Allspa's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years. He's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite Ace Hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Allspa's Ace Hardware is everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal touch that's missing from the big-box stores. Allspa's Ace Hardware has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so Allspa's Ace Hardware features a complete barbecue pit house to fulfill all your outdoor cooking needs. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at Allspa's Ace Hardware. And they even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspas.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. Allspa's Ace Hardware at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood, and tell them I sent you. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Hi, friends. Randy Hames to tell you about Cellular and Satellite. Cellular and Satellite are specialists in wireless data plans for businesses. Because they buy in large quantities, Cellular and Satellite can give you a data plan on the same provider you're using today, but at a lower cost. Cellular and Satellite can also combine the two largest wireless providers into a single data plan. Two carriers with better coverage, but only one invoice to pay. If your workforce is international, Cellular and Satellite offers a global data SIM with fixed pricing in over 200 countries. You'll never have to pay international roaming charges again with Cellular and Satellite. And they can handle all your wireless data needs, whether you need 10 or 10,000 data SIMs. So if you're an IT professional, mobility manager, or business owner, save money and increase your network availability by letting Cellular and Satellite simplify your wireless life. Call Cellular and Satellite today, 832-551-1000, or go to cellularandsatellite.com. Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
We're visiting today with Lance Waltz, who owns a company called The Grill Doctor. Lance, welcome back to the second segment.
Thanks, Randy.
For those of you who may just now be tuning in or missed the first segment, Lance is a native Houstonian, Seabrook to be exact, and he started up The Grill Doctor when he realized that there really wasn't any such service on the Upper Texas Gulf Coast, and he also wanted to branch out on his own, start his own business. Let's talk about cleaning grills and specific kinds of grills, like charcoaler. Start there, Lance.
Sure. For the charcoal grill, it's going to be a lot different than what I do for natural gas or propane setups, just because those I'm dealing with a lot of stainless steel. So it's actually a little bit simpler. You know, what I usually do is I use some special solutions that are degreaser agents, and I kind of rub them inside the grill, and then I wipe them off with a clean microfiber towel. And then another important thing, too, is to get all the debris out. Some of that stuff can build up and start causing corrosion. Rust is such a big problem for smokers, charcoal grills. There's a couple other things that you can do for that as well. Soap and water if you don't want to call me to come out and do it, soap and water can do a lot for you. I would use a mild detergent with warm water and scrub inside. I wouldn't use steel or wire wool. I would stick to a soft cloth or a sponge. Also, you can use a commercial rust remover as well. You just have to make sure you follow the instructions on the package. Again, smokers, the big thing is always rust.
So let me ask you this, Lance. Do you disassemble the grill to clean it?
It depends on how it looks, how it's set up. If it's too hard for me to get inside, then I will disassemble, but usually I can fit into the spaces.
Well, here's another question, Lance. You mentioned cleansers earlier. When you use a cleanser on a grill, does some of the taste of that cleanser or maybe the odor of that cleanser come through on the meat when you cook it?
Well, if you on the grates, here's what I do. If you're talking about the grates, specifically for the cooking surface, I always steam clean over. I sanitize everything when I finish up, and then I wipe down to make sure there's no residue from anything, any debris. But what you can do as a consumer is you can buy a product called the Grill Daddy if you want to steam your grill. You can buy it, off many retailers. And what it is after you're done cooking, it's warm. The grill is warm. And basically, it's a brush that activates with heat that you fill up with water, and it will steam over it. And it works wonders. It's a really good product.
What cleansers should we use? Give us some names. And what kind of cleaning items should we use with the cleansers?
Sure. On the inside of the grill, soap and water works great. On your grates, you can actually put them into your dishwasher if they'll fit. The stuff that I use personally, I buy in mass supplies like restaurant cleaning agents. But there's many things as a consumer you can use. Vinegar and baking soda is a great way to clean up parts of your grill. Lemon juice and detergent also works really well.
And none of that taste then transfers over to the meat you cook after you clean it up?
Well, for the lemon juice and the vinegar and baking soda, that would be on the inside of the grill. It wouldn't be on your cooking surface. No, sir. Your cooking surface, just wipe it off when you're done with a brush. Now, what you want to get is a long brush that will, fit between the edges, a heavy-duty brush. And then what I usually do is I go over with a microfiber cloth, and I make sure there's no bristles, because you end up eating a bristle, you're in the ER.
Well, now here's another question about charcoalers. I've always wondered about this. Is it good to leave the ashes in the bottom of the charcoaler, or should you clean it out every time?
I wouldn't say you would clean it out every time, but you want to wash it. You don't really want to leave it sitting. It does nothing for your cook. It's ashes. It's not seasoning. It's just ash. You really want to clean it up. I've seen many people who have just left stuff in there, and it adds to the corrosion element over time. Or let's say water gets through, and it ends up basically just making it a solid chunk. It becomes a part of your grill.
Now, Lance, our producer, Greg Berlocker, said he was cleaning out his charcoaler one time, and he made the mistake of using a leaf blower to get the ashes out, and he said it looked like Mount St. Helens had exploded down the block and covered every car in sight. So what's the best way to get ashes out without just scooping them out with a big spoon or something?
Sure. You can take a shop vac, or any type of vacuum that has an attachment, just take it out there, and you just make sure you empty it many times. an appropriate place, you know.
Well, now, where do you do such cleaning? Out at the end of the driveway, in the backyard, in the grass? Where?
Well, you would do it, I would just take an extension, just go out there, and then when you're done with it, just, you know, put it in the garbage or dispose of it. I wouldn't put it in my grass or anything.
Should you ever pour water on the coals to put them out, or should you let them burn out on their own?
I'm one to say you should just let them burn out on their own. Water, you know, there's many things. If there's grease inside your grill and your grill hasn't been cleaned in a long time, water is a terrible idea to put into your grill.
You mentioned a few moments ago that you use different techniques for charcoalers and then gas grills, be they propane or natural gas. Describe the way you would clean out a propane gas grill.
Sure, yeah. Now, propane, you know, I'm going to make sure, first, you know, I do an inspection of everything. I make sure everything's lighting in the grill. Then I would turn the gas off and get to work. The inside of the grill, you know, I use a high-quality steam cleaner on the inside to get all the heat stain and the buildup out. So I'll start from the top and work my way down to the bottom. But before I do that, I also take everything out. I take the burners out. A big issue that happens for people in their grill is something called flashback. It's a very big safety issue. What happens with flashback is your gas is trying to push out into the burners. It has a clog inside. It pushes back. Flames come up through your paneling. Your eyebrows may burn off. And basically, all you see is a flash. So when I take the burners out, you know, we go through them with pipe cleaners. We go through the portholes in them. We make sure everything looks great in them. And then we put them back in, and hopefully everything lights much better. Usually it does. People who get low flames, they may have clog issues as well.
Does the same thing apply to a natural gas grill as to a propane grill?
Yes, it does. As far as the lighting mechanism, natural gas is always going to be safer, for sure. Anytime I'm doing anything with propane, I always let it, if I'm taking anything off, I take the regulator off, and I let it sit for a while before I put it back on in case any gas escapes. Because propane will sit on the floor for a long period of time. But the cleaning process for me is the same. There's no difference in cleaning the grill from propane to natural gas.
And you mentioned pellet grills a moment ago. How do you clean pellet grills?
Yeah, pellet grills are, a lot of them are kind of built like your natural gas and your propane grills. Sometimes they're made of stainless steel or they're made of different steel elements on the inside that are a lot different than some smokers, and sometimes they're built more like a smoker. So depending on what it is, I'll clean it like that. The thing with pellet grills, though, is there can be clogs inside, like the hopper unit, a lot of electrical issues can happen. I've had people who have had many fires happen in them by filling too many pellets in or not reading the instructions. So a lot of times I'll have to go through and take everything apart to get in there to clean it out. Cause sometimes when that stuff's clogged, it is very hard to get into.
I knew this was going to happen, Lance. We're now through two segments of the show, and we have yet to even address repairing grills, which is another part of your business at the Grill Doctor. So can you hang for the third segment? We'll talk about that.
I can. Yes, sir.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be right back with more food and fun after this break.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way.
At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. It's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a video or a new website or help in managing their social media, and my company, Edgewater Digital, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of digital marketing. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time or expertise to build and maintain your website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to manage your company's internet ads or social media accounts? Like, never, right? Well, at Edgewater Digital, that's what we do. We have a talented web design team who've built a number of incredibly successful websites for companies large and small. Need content too? No problem. Edgewater can provide copywriting, photography, and videography services to enhance the content on your website, email marketing, or even social media. We're a full-service digital marketing solution with a track record of success. Call us today at 832-500-4272 or see our website, edgewater-digital.com. Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspaw at Allspaw's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years. He's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite Ace Hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Allspaw's Ace Hardware is everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal touch that's missing from the big-box stores. Allspaw's Ace Hardware has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so Allspaw's Ace Hardware features a complete barbecue pit house to fulfill all your outdoor cooking needs. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at Allspaw's Ace Hardware. And they even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspaws.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. Allspaw's Ace Hardware at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood, and tell them I sent you. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po' boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
May the forks be with you. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the guy who turns all the grills on, Randy Hames.
We're visiting today with Lance Walls, who is the owner and operator of a company called The Grill Doctor. It's good to have you back, Lance. We want to talk about the other part of your business now. For those who may just be tuning in or maybe missed the first segment, Lance is a native Houstonian. He grew up in the Seabrook area, spent a lot of time fishing down there, and he started The Grill Doctor when he realized there was no such service in the greater Houston area. Plus, he had always wanted to go into business for himself, get out of the corporate world and all that. As the grill doctor, he not only cleans grills, he also services them. And I'll admit, I do not possess the Mr. Fix-It skills that my father had. I would never attempt to repair my grill or to replace defective parts or worn-out parts. So where did you acquire this skill, Lance?
Well, the funny part, you say that my father, he was always fixing everything, you know. So everything I've always learned was through him. We always called it redneck engineering, though.
I understand completely. Well, there are so many elements to cookers that can break down or wear out, and many of those problems arise as a direct result of not keeping the cooker clean in the first place, right?
Exactly. Yep, that's a good point.
So that's why it's so important to keep the grill clean. But we've talked about that. Let's talk about repairing it for a moment. What are the most common problems you encounter when you repair backyard cookers of any kind?
Sure, yeah. The most common question I get asked, or is a concern for people when they call me, is my grill will not light. And basically, for me as a repair person of a grill, it's kind of like a flow chart, right? It could be a number of things. First of all, what a customer needs to realize is, well, is it not lighting manually? And what I mean by that is the electric ignition system, if it's not turning over and you don't, you know, hear any gas coming out, then if you're on a propane grill, it could be your regulator, or it could be a couple other things. You could have a faulty propane unit, right? For a natural gas grill, you know, what you have to ask yourself is the grill on a battery ignition or is it on a self-clip from the valve, right? You'll see brands like Lion Grill and a few others where it's just built right on top of the valve that sits on the manifold, where that is the agent that it just clicks over without a battery, right? So I would tell customers to, you know, first check your battery. You know, are you getting a spark off your igniters? Which comes back to our point of, well, if you're getting a semi-spark but it's not lighting, right, your grill has just been so dirty that debris has fallen on top of the ignition, you know, the spark generator by the electrode.
Yeah, igniters probably are one of the biggest things that you address on a day-to-day basis. But I would guess gas hoses and maybe leaks or whatnot are also a big problem that you face on a pretty regular basis, right?
Yes, that is correct. You know, on your propane tank grills, the big common thing that happen is where you're not getting any gas coming out at all. Usually it's one or two issues. It's your regulator hose. They eventually do go bad. Right. So, you know, what you can do is you can go up to your hardware store, you can buy a regulator hose, and basically, you know, it's maybe $20. You can try that out, put it on, and usually that fixes the case in 9 out of 10 of the scenarios I encounter. Then every now and then someone does have a faulty tank, or they don't even realize that they're out of gas in their tank.
Another big hurdle for a lot of us is finding the replacement parts with which to make repairs. So where do you go to find these replacement parts, and can we do the same thing?
Yeah, definitely. You can go to a couple different places. Now, the first way to know what parts you need is usually if you open up the paneling, if you have a door on your grill, if it's carded, there is a number, a model number, over there that you can just write down. As well, sometimes on some grills, it's when you pull out the drip tray, it'll be on the right-hand side of that. But there's a couple places you can go. First one is a place called clagrills.com.
Now say that again, Lance.
Yeah, sure. It's clagrills.com. And what makes this website so cool is you put your model number in, and it has almost everything from all the grills that have ever been manufactured.
Wow.
You can even get diagrams pulled up of your grill. You can get PDF files of the instruction manual in case you lost it. And a lot of times they have really good deals on there for your grill.
Now, we talked about the biggest mistakes most of us make during the cleaning process. This is a good question to ask here, too. What are the biggest mistakes people make during the repair and the replacement process?
Yeah, definitely. You know, when you're replacing stuff, it's easy to buy the wrong thing sometimes. I've seen people buy igniter units that actually won't work in their grill, just the way the fitting is on the spade. So it's important, you know, if you go to the website that I did give you, it's important to get the right stuff. Also, if you can't find something for your grill, you can always measure. On grills, the way the measurements are done, it's wide by long, right? So that's always going to be what you're looking for. And sometimes you can just find those. You can go to Amazon, just search for your grill and the parts, or just search for, let's say you need heat shields, just search for, put in the how long and how wide it is, and see if it fits your grill or not.
Safety would also seem to be a major issue during any of these endeavors. So talk about how to avoid making tragic blunders while trying to repair your grill.
First thing I would tell you is to wear gloves. Wearing gloves will save you a finger. There are sharp objects, even on your cabinet pullout. I've almost cut off my finger before on a cabinet pullout. So I learned the hard way to wear gloves always. And of course, you want to turn your gas off. You want to make sure it's off. If you want peace of mind, if you're on a propane grill, take the regulator off, make sure it's in the off position. If you're on natural gas, just go to the shut off, shut it off. You know, and you want to make sure you just be really careful taking everything out that you're going to be taking out.
And I have a lot of tools. Most of them I inherited from my late father. But generally speaking, what kinds of tools are required to make these repair and replacement jobs work on outdoor cookers?
Sure, yeah, it's a really good question because each one's a different experience. You know, you can use pipe wrenches if you're working on, you know, something to do with the line or the manifold. If you're trying just to get into your control panel where your electronics are, and sometimes even to get to your battery, you need, you know, just a regular screwdriver, you know. And sometimes it's going to be hard to get the screws out. Sometimes I have to drill into the grill to get the stuff out, because builders, what they'll do if they're installing like an outdoor kitchen or something, they'll take shortcuts. They won't use the original screws that were meant to fit into the grill. So sometimes, you know, they'll have to use impact driver. You just have, you know, your regular toolkit. You should be able to put most of the stuff in. But the hardest part is always going to be getting into the control panel aspect of it.
A lot of our listeners are going to hear all these great ideas and then simply decide they'd rather have the grill doctor do the work for them. Like me, for instance. So how do they contract your services, Lance?
Sure, yeah. They can call me at 832-282-4441. They can also email me at thegrilldoctortx@gmail.com. You can find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at The Grill Doc. And on Facebook, we are at The Grill Doctor TX. And then, of course, you can just go to our website. You can fill out a contact form. And our website is thegrilldoctor.us.
Well, you've already made me feel a whole lot better, Lance, simply because I know I can call you to come out and look at my grill. And, Lord, it needs your help. We need a tune-up in the Hames house. It's the grill doctor, Lance Walls, an extremely informative and a little bit intimidating for the know-nothing like me. So we'd love to have you back on the show again to talk more. Would you do that, Lance?
Yeah, I would love to. I would love to get on and talk to you more.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show.
How's about cooking something else?